Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 1 as we continue to look at Satan's strategies. And last week we considered his plans on how he attacks us. And this week we're going to see how we can overthrow Satan's plans by looking at how Jesus did such in Mark chapter 1. The big idea for the message this morning is the child of God has positional authority over Satan, but it takes dogged perseverance to live in victory over him. Now, I want you to understand this. As a child of God, you have ultimate victory over the devil. But that does not mean that on a daily basis that you're living in victory over him. It takes a persistent faith that says, you know what, I'm not going to give in during this trial, during this temptation. I'm going to stand, I'm going to rebuke, I'm going to resist. I'm not giving in to the devil during this time in my life. If you know these truths about who you are in Christ, about how the Father views you, about your position before Him, but you're not activating those things, they're not being lived out in your life, then I'm going to tell you, you will live in defeat even though you have positional authority over Satan. So there are a few things that I want us to consider as we look at overthrowing Satan's plans. The very first point is this, is that you must understand what is happening around you. Understand what's happening around you. And so that's where we turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was compelled by the Spirit. He knew exactly what was happening. He was not caught off guard. He had what is called situational awareness. He was aware of the environment around him. He was aware what the Father was doing. He was not caught off guard. The Spirit was leading him to that place, and he was in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. He was completely awake, completely aware, and he knew what lay before him. And I want to tell you this. I believe this, that many believers are absolutely clueless when it comes to Satan's plans for them. Last week we looked at this verse. I want us to consider it again. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil." The word strategies or schemes, it means methodologies, his plans, his purposes. He has a procedure. He has a strategy. As I said last week, he's got a strategy for you, for your family, for this church, for this community, for this nation, for this world. It's just not some whimsical, winged beast flying around throwing egg on people's face. No, there is a strategy, a plan to overcome everyone. Jesus knew that Satan would attack him, and he knew he would try to supplant God's activity through him. And many of you today, you are under that barrage. You are under attack. And you don't have situational awareness. Here's what you think. It's just been a stroke of bad luck. It's just happenstance, coincidence, or a series of unfortunate events have happened in my life. And I want you to know it is more than that, that there is a strategy directed at you to overthrow you. This is spiritual warfare. And God is trying to awaken you. And what you've been, again, going using the spiritual warfare analogy, you are caught in what's called the fog of war. You see, when a war begins, everybody's kind of in place, they know what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden the first shot, the first assault happens, and you have what's called the fog of war. And that is the field of war is cluttered with sounds, with smoke, with chaos, with the melee of what's happening. And people are like, what's next? What's going to happen? And that's where some of you are today in your walk. You're just like, man, what's going on? It seems like my life, my world is falling apart. So I want to give you a few signs that you are in spiritual warfare. Okay, so take these down. These are some signs, indications that you're walking in spiritual warfare. Number one is this. A convergence of negative things that are not due to sin in your life. Let me say it again. A convergence of negative things that are not due to sin in your life. It could be like for us, instance, with our family. Just recently, we moved into a town home. This was back in August. I'm telling you what, during that period of time, we had more financial challenges than I can ever remember. They all converged within a couple of week period of time. I had people, the person or a business debit my account for over $800 that had no right to do it. I had an outrageous water bill. We had other things that came up suddenly, and it was just like, Lord, what is going on here? And yet we're in this transitional season, moving from an apartment to a house, a child going into college, one child at home. All these things are happening, and I believe it was absolutely an attack of the enemy to discourage us during this transitional moment. Secondly, a second sign that you're in spiritual warfare. Ongoing resistance as you sincerely try to do God's will. It seems like you can never get ahead. It's like, God, I want to do your will. I'm trying to do the right thing. But it's like it's this constant pull or resistance that's coming at you. Some of you feel that in relationships. Or you feel it as you're trying to advance at work or in school. You're trying to do the right thing, but it seems like you're getting nowhere. And again, that is that's a clear marker you're under spiritual warfare. This is a big reason why you need to connect with other Christians who can support you and encourage you. Because if you don't have anybody around you when you're facing this strong headwind, you're likely to turn around and move with the wind. But when you got brothers and sisters in Christ who are standing alongside you, praying for you and encouraging you, it keeps you sound and safe during that hard headwind. A third way that you know you're under spiritual warfare, under attack, is this, is that it's causing you to seriously question your faith and God's goodness. And that's where some of you are today. You're questioning, is this faith thing? Maybe not. Maybe it's real, but I just don't see it happening in my life. I'm just not sure that, I can really trust God. You say He's good, but I have all these things in my life that are contrary to His goodness. Again, that's a clear sign. That's the temptations, the trials of Satan coming your way. And finally, another one is this internal chatter in your head about what a rotten person you are, or what a weak person you are, or why your life is so messed up, or how useless you are. But it's this internal chatter that you hear that just is always digging at who you are, digging at your identity. Those are signs, and you can add your own, but those are some signs right there, I believe, that they're indicative that you're under spiritual attack. I want to point out a scripture to you. It's one we looked at last week. We spent some time meditating on, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It reads, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure it." I had this little saying, God will provide a door through the war. He will provide a door through the war. You don't have to stay in the fog of war. I have this board here. I want to illustrate it. Let's say this is the doorway of escape. And here you are. You're running towards the doorway. Here you are. You're headed that way. And all around this door and all around you is this fog, is this spiritual warfare. But God says, I have provided you a doorway to get through the war. Here's what happens. You see it very clearly, but then suddenly it gets smaller, and then it gets smaller, and then it just seems to be obscured. And I've had people say, Pastor, I don't hardly see the doorway. This may be what's happening to some of you. I'm not saying this is not a blanket statement. I don't receive any condemnation from this. But this is what I've noticed. When God oftentimes provides that doorway, it is very clear. But then we begin to kind of circle around. and get a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further from the doorway. And the doorway doesn't change, but our position with the doorway changes. And finally, one day we wake up and we say, man, if I would have done what I was supposed to do early on, it would have been a whole lot simpler than it is now, 2 months, 2 years after the fact or whatever. So God provides a doorway. But if you begin to walk away from that doorway and hesitate or give into compromise or try to come up with another plan, that doorway does seem smaller. But it's only because you've walked away a little bit further. So keep that in mind. I've seen this, and this is a very kind of touchy thing, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody here, but I have witnessed this with a number of people. They're sick. Something's going on in their body. They say to themselves, you know, something doesn't feel right, but I'm just going to wait and see how it goes. And so they wait 1 month, 2 months. Things continue to slide down. Now it's 3 months, 6 months later. Things never get better. And they go, well, I guess I need to go to the doctor. They go to the doctor. And when they go to the doctor says, wow, if you had come here 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we could have treated this thing. But now we can't. It's terminal. So it is. I want you to consider, and so it is oftentimes with people, that when those temptations and hard times come, on the front end, if we would do what we know we should do with that trial or temptation, we can get through that door quickly. But the further along, the longer we wait, the longer we kind of just move aside, the smaller that opportunity looks. So I would encourage you now, walk through the doorway quickly. The second thing you need to do in order to overthrow Satan's plans is this. You need to discern what is happening to you internally. So first thing is situational awareness, what's going on around me. But secondly, what's going on inside of me. And most of the message last week was about that. So I'm not going to spend much time on it. It says in Mark chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, it says, as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, it goes on to say, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. From last week's message, let me talk about the four ways that Satan is going to tempt you. He's going to tempt you after a great victory. After this great pronouncement, you are my dearly loved son. Satan came in to be tempted him. And second, that's what Satan's going to do with some of you. After a victory, he's going to come after you. So you need to be discerning. Secondly, he's going to come after you when you are by yourself. Jesus was by himself. The angels didn't show up until after the 40-day period. And that, again, speaks to this fact that you don't do the Christian life alone. You have to have brothers and sisters in the faith standing with you. Thirdly, Satan tempts you when you're weak. For 40 days, he didn't have anything to eat. So his emotions are dull. His body is slow. He's probably on edge some. And Satan understands that. So he looks for those moments in your life when you are physically weak, when you're not getting enough rest, when you're sick, when maybe you're depressed, you're low. And you need to ask yourself right now, are there physical things going on in my life that are opening me up to attack? I realized that in my life, that there were some physical things that were kind of working against what God wanted, and we had to address those things medically. And that put me on a better path. But, you know, for about a year or two, I was kind of in a low place because of the physical realities that were going on within me. And finally, during a pivotal season, this, of course, was the beginning of his ministry, the beginning of his work to bring salvation to mankind, and Satan attacked him then, and he'll also attack you during pivotal moments in your life. Those are the moments that will shape you for a long time, if not for the rest of your life. At the moments of salvation, at the moments of recommitments, at the moments when you say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I know it's going to be hard and difficult and challenging, but it's for the best of my family. It's for the best of my life. He's going to tempt and try you during those times. Let me tell you other areas of vulnerability. Emotionally, he's going to come at some of you because you are living in your past hurts, in your past wounds. And some of you are living out of unforgiveness towards people who have hurt you. How do you know that you're living there? It's because when something stressful happens to you, you relate it back to something else that was hurtful that happened to you. And sometimes that's, and Satan understands those low places. He's also going to come at you if there are your weaknesses in your relationships. Let me ask you this. Would you wish your relational life on others? Would you wish your relational life on others? Your relationship with your parents? Would you wish that others had that same kind of relationship? Your relationship, if you're married, with your spouse? If you're older, with your siblings? I say if you're older, with your siblings, because when you're a child or a teenager, many times you just naturally have a hard time with your siblings. But as you get older, would you wish those relationships? What about the other relationships that you've had in your life? Would you want others to have those same type of relationships? The enemy targets weakness, and the warfare may not be about mending those relationships, but he targets what those relationships did to you or what they did not do for you. For example, some of you may have a nagging mother or a workaholic dad, and the only time you get accolades is when you do well at something. You know, or maybe you even sense your mom's always on you for something. You never quite meet the measure. It may not be that you can reconcile that with your parents, but it definitely has impact on your life. And Satan targets those areas. Spiritually, are there areas of sin, compromise? Are you living out of your identity in Christ under the conditional love of the Father? Are you living with a servant mindset? A work-based relationship with God. Do you see God is enjoying you or just tolerating you? So again, Satan knows how you view your Heavenly Father, and he targets those areas to exploit them. Generationally, I mean, do you see within your lives maybe a generational pattern, sin pattern that's been passed down from one generation to the next? I mean, sometimes you see this with addictions. As one form of addiction is passed down to the next generation and another generation, another generation. You can also see it with anger or poverty or whatever it may be. That's how Satan has targeted your family, that scheme, that strategy. And God's saying, stand up to that. And finally, one more is trauma. When something happened too quick, too much. Something was too quick and too much. It could be something weather-related. It could be natural disaster. It could be a car accident. It could be what somebody did to you. Too much, too quick, and you can also add, for some, too often. It happened repeatedly. And Satan, again, targets those traumas as ways of snaring you and capturing you and keeping you from living out your destiny. So consider those things. The third thing that you can do to overcome Satan's plans is this. Make sure your military gear is on and working. What do I mean by that? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about the gear we wear as members of God's army and how it should operate. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, Paul says this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. This word, put on, is an imperative. It means you do it and you do it now. Put on what? All of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against, here's that word, strategies, methodologies, schemes of the devil. For you're not wrestling against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world against the mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we're not just warring a natural war. There are spiritual realities that we're coming against. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on, here it is, here's the armory, the armor you should wear, the belt of truth, and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18 is connected linguistically to this entire section. So he continues, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now I want to say this. I preached a series on the book of Ephesians in 2011. And I'm going to attach to the notes, to the sermon notes, those four messages that I preach from Ephesians chapter 6. I don't have time to adequately go through all of this, these pieces of armor. Just know this, God has given us armor to wear and armor to war with. There's defensive armor, there is offensive armor. There's the belt of truth. Truth means this, it's that which secures and strengthens the believer. The devil lies and we resist him and we overcome him with truth. The truth of who God is, of who I am in God, it secures us. It talks about the body armor or the breastplate of righteousness. That's the righteousness given unto us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's been imputed. It's been imparted to us. It's been given to us so that we are cleansed and we have authority over the evil one. The shoes of peace. This gives us, makes us sure-footed because the gospel gives you peace. You see, you're either going to war from a place of fear and anxiety or you're going to war from a place of rest and peace. And many Christians, I've seen Christians, man, they're hollering at the devil. They're giving him this and that. Sometimes it's just the natural exuberance that comes, but sometimes it's because of fear. And you'll either war from the place of fear or you'll war from the place of rest. And we ought to just say, hey, I've got the good news here. And I'm going to war from the place of peace and rest. And then you have the shield of faith, which is this absolute confidence in the power and goodness of God. It's this resolute confidence that my God is going to take care of me and I can trust Him in that. The helmet of salvation, that is, I know I'm saved. I know I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I know whom I belong to because the devil's going to hit that mind. He's going to make you question those beliefs. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And as Hebrews says, this Word is living and active. It's powerful. It has authority. And when Jesus rebuked the devil, how did He rebuke him? With the Word. He quoted the Word at him. And finally, verse 18 tells us prayer. We are calling on God to do what we can't. It says that we pray in the Spirit. Some people say, well, that's praying in tongues. I'm all for that. That's a good thing. But I also believe when he talks about praying in the Spirit, he's saying pray in cooperation with what the Holy Spirit is showing you. You know, pray in accordance with God's will. Stay in that stream, in that flow. And I think all of us have seen that. When we're in the Spirit, when we're praying in accordance with God's will, there is power there. And oftentimes, God answers those prayers quickly. So keep on God's armor and make sure it's in good working order. The final thing that I want to mention when it comes to overthrowing Satan's plans for your life is found in Mark chapter 1 again, verse 11. It's when the Father speaks to Jesus and He says, "You are my dearly loved Son and you bring me great joy." And it's this, overthrowing Satan's plan. You war from a position of authority based on your identity as a child of God. Jesus knew who He was. He was the Son of God. He didn't fear the devil. He didn't dread the conflict. He didn't run away from the moment. He stood His ground based upon who He was as the Son of God and His calling that is to be the Savior of mankind. Sometimes this is what happens in spiritual warfare, and it's happened to me, and many of you can attest to it as well. You get discouraged. You get down. You see yourself as weak, as broken, as directionless. And there are even some of you, you feel like you deserve it. I guess it's just because of sin in my life. That's why all this is going on. I guess I just deserve all these trials and hardships. I want you to understand this, child of God, regardless of how you feel, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, you war from a position of authority as His child who has empowered you by His Spirit. You don't war from a place of weakness. You war from a place of strength, a strength that is found in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, 13 through 15 says, "You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature. It was not cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ." Amen. You're alive now. "For He forgave all your sins, and not only are you alive and forgiven, He canceled the record of the charges against you, and He took it away by nailing it to the cross. That is, that past is gone. And in this way, He disarmed." He disarmed. Some say He stripped. He made them naked. He disarmed, He stripped the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. Woo! I'm fired up. Listen, He has thoroughly defeated them. You have complete victory in Christ. You are forgiven, you are a child, and you have authority over the evil one. So walk in that authority regardless of how you feel and how you think. We have authority because we are in Him. When I encounter warfare, when I encounter spiritual warfare, I enter the battlefield as a victor in Jesus' name. It's already victorious. I'm already victorious. There should be no question as to the outcome of the engagement. I win because I'm in Him. Amen? I win because I'm in Him. So how do you take your stance in battle? I want to illustrate it again with 2 points here on the board. Your stance in battle. How should you stand in battle? So here you are, and we'll have you standing right here. Victorious, you're standing. There are 2 ways you stand. The first way is this, is what I call aggressive authority. Aggressive authority. And you see it with Jesus in Mark chapter 1 and also Mark chapter 5 and many other places. You see Jesus going straight after the demonic. Man, that demon pops its head up and Jesus takes authority over it right away. When demons were manifested in others, He did not pray, say, "Oh, Heavenly Father, would You please do something?" He didn't look around at His disciples like, "Guys, what are we supposed to do here?" No, He took authority. He was aggressive. It was this aggressive authority that Jesus took. He rebuked it. Listen, when Satan is coming against you through demonic host, there are times you just take absolute authority. Especially as it's seen in the life of other people. You don't wait around. You don't pray. You don't ask God to do something He's given you authority and responsibility to do. Did you hear that? You don't ask God to do something He's given you the authority and the responsibility to do. You can ask Him for wisdom, like, you know, what's the timing of this? Should I do this now or whatever? But you go after it. Listen, I was working on my computer here about 2 hours ago. And I'm getting to this. Every time I do something on spiritual warfare practically, I always have problems. I have lost entire messages when I was working on a message about spiritual warfare. It didn't happen this time, but all of a sudden my computer started acting weird and started doing things. I thought, oh my word, what is going on here? I said, I'm not going to let that happen. In the name of Jesus, took authority over it, and the thing straightened up. You say, well, that's nutty, that's crazy. I don't care. That's authority. That's what God gave me the authority to do when this kind of stuff starts happening. We have aggressive authority. Sometimes that's the stance we have to take, but there's also another form of standing And it's what I call active resistance. Just abbreviate it there. Active resistance. Jesus, in this occasion, in Mark chapter 1, also reflected in Luke chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4, he stood his ground. He did not budge. We don't see aggressive authority against Satan. He just stood his ground, quoted the word, the sword of the Spirit. I believe that on this occasion, in this temptation, as well as the temptation that would come later in Jesus' life, the last week of his life, as Satan was using the religious leaders, Judas and even Peter, we don't see aggressive authority taken by Jesus, but what we do see is this act of resistance. He continued to walk out the will of God. He continued to do the things set before him. Jesus took aggressive authority when demons manifest in people's lives, but when Satan directly opposes him here, he resists by standing his ground. Listen to me. Sometimes you rebuke, and sometimes you just resist. And that resist means I'm just going to keep walking it out. Sometimes the wind and wave, you are to rebuke them. And sometimes you are just simply to walk through them. Resistance is accomplished by standing your ground and doing what you know to be right. When you keep walking out the will of God despite the negativity or the hardship or the apathy, whatever it may be, that is active resistance. And some of you are doing that right now today. Actively resisting. You're not making the loud proclamations, but you're doing what James chapter 4, verse 7 says, which is, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes you are to be rebuking and other times you are to be resisting. And I've witnessed people who've been greatly discouraged because they were rebuking the devil. They were doing this aggressive authority. They were rebuking the devil and nothing was happening. And the Lord was saying, son, daughter, I need you to actively resist. Keep walking it out. It's going to take more than a few impassioned prayers. And then sometimes I've seen people who are just taking stuff when the Father was saying, I need you to be like my son. When that wind and water came against him, he aggressively took authority over it. And you need to do the same thing. So we pray that God will give us discernment. So going back again to the big idea, the child of God has positional authority over Satan, but it takes dogged persistence to live in victory over him. In conclusion, you can see on the screen a few questions. Are there signs that you're in spiritual warfare right now? What kind of condition is your military gear in? Do you even know what they all are, all the pieces are? And are you warring from a position of authority? God's calling you in this hour to stand up, Christian. Don't give in. Sometimes you need to be aggressive, and other times you just need to have active resistance. May God give you wisdom in this moment. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are leading us into truth, and you are showing us, I say it prophetically, you are showing us where the devil is coming against each of our lives and our families. And you have equipped us, Jesus, to stand against the schemes, the methodologies of the devil. I pray that each person here today will take their stand, not give in, and live in greater victory this week than they did the previous. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me speak a blessing over you. May the Holy Spirit empower you this week to do the will of the Father with passion, with love, and perseverance. Amen.